Hey, everybody, welcome to a special edition of Security Guy TV, securityguytv.com, a follow-up to our Black Hat 2017 interviews in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, because we missed Mr. Davis Johnson from riverbed.com. Little scheduling conflict, but we got you back here in studio from Hollywood, and we're going to pick up and stream this right to our live stream page. That's Security Guy TV, and it's going to be / Black Hat USA 2017. And welcome to the show, Mr. Davis Johnson of Riverbed.
Thanks, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Now, I love the name. It conjures up all kinds of things in my head, which I'm sure are incorrect. And since we don't let facts get in the way here on Security Guy TV, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what exactly Riverbed does?
You mentioned you love the name. I frequently get asked where the name came from, but I can answer that question for you, too, if you like. But Riverbed is a performance management company that specializes in application and network performance management. We've been in business as Riverbed since 2004, but we've acquired companies along the way, some of them going all the way back to the late 80s, that have a fantastic legacy in network performance management, network planning, configuration management. So our qualifications around network planning and network performance are outstanding. Since then, we've evolved through organic growth and acquisition to be a WAN optimization company. Our WAN optimization technology is our best known technology. And we're also doing things like end-user experience monitoring and SD-WAN now. So that's kind of at a high level what Riverbed does. The name Riverbed comes from the love of fly fishing from the founder. So our first product ever created was called a steelhead, which is a very, very crafty fish. And he likes to tell the story about the steelhead swimming up the stream on the riverbed. And that's where we came from.
I love to hear stuff like this. Because there's always a story behind it. You're familiar with Black Duck? You've heard of Black Duck Software?
Yeah.
Yeah. So great company.
I don't know the story.
Yeah, great company. And I thought it came from Black Duck, Yellow Duck. Remember when we played as a kid, Black Duck, Yellow Duck? And I said, that where it came from? He says, nope, it just came from the fact that my kid had a duck in her toy chest one day, and that's what I called it. So it wasn't as exciting a story, but Riverbed does also conjure up, you know, kind of this feeling of you know, something old and solid and it's been there and it's a pathway. And certainly the way you just described the company, since you're old timers from 2004, I think it's a perfect name. Now, let's talk about this management issue. You know, I have a small brain compared to you. Mine's a very kind of common sense. I know cybersecurity is super important. That's why I do a lot of shows about it. I had a computer in 1984, so I'm ahead of the game on that part. But this management aspect, to me, is fascinating because we've built a network that's basically built on trust. The whole internet's built on trust still. It still is, right? We have passwords and things. And then we didn't put any security into it. Nobody wrote HTML and said, hey, let's put some security code in there. They just said, it's all open, it's all free. And then companies like yourself come in and say, you know what, you guys are all messed up. We have to help manage this situation. So talk about some of those techniques and platforms and devices and things you guys do or use to do that. I think people would find that interesting.
Sure. So once again, most of the people or almost everyone who is familiar with Riverbed is aware of our WAN optimization technology, but there's quite a few folks who still aren't aware of our legacy in network performance management, which was really born out of a cybersecurity role long before cybersecurity became as big as it is today. We acquired a company called OpNet in 2013, which was the one I just referred to that was founded in the late 80s. And they have a long legacy with network performance management, packet capture, net flow analysis, primarily for cybersecurity, but then over time evolving to be cybersecurity and performance management. The two problems are solved using the same tools. You're constantly analyzing packets and looking at net flows to figure out whether or not you can make the network run faster or conversely, whether or not you have a cybersecurity issue. So we've been doing it for a very long time, and the cybersecurity piece is becoming a lot more relevant now. The performance management piece, if you look from 2004 to 2013, kind of sustained us. But since 2013, more than half of our business is now coming from things other than WAN optimization, whether it's the packet capture, packet analysis, looking for anomaly detection. We're not a true cybersecurity company. Most of the true cybersecurity companies are focused on two of the five NIST protocols for cybersecurity of protect and detect and protect. And there's the other three, which is, what are you going to do to inspect the network, to recover more quickly? And we have a lot of tools which make sure you understand how the network should behave so that you can understand what anomalies are. Once, Chuck, there's a lot of companies who are focusing on next-gen firewall, antivirus. That's not the market we're in. We're more focused on what happens when someone is on your network and they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing, or how can we help the government recover more quickly if they do have a cybersecurity incident? So that's a big part of the cyber realm these days. The industry and government in particular is moving beyond known threats, and they're looking for ways that they can focus on insider threat, zero-day threats, things that they can't anticipate or don't have the tools to anticipate today. And that's where some of the tools that we have for network performance management are very, very relevant.
Well, see, I think people have it backwards. I think you have it correct. Because I'm a people guy, right? I came from a police officer, law enforcement background. I understand people and behavior. And firewalls and protecting people from coming inside your network, that's great. But, you know, just like in crime, it's 10% of the population commits crime. And in employee theft internally, it's 85% of all thefts at a company are internal from your employees. 85% of them, right? So why doesn't the cyber world logically say, well, wait a minute, let's take that model that's been around thousands of years, literally, right? Because the peasant stole from the king and so on. And why don't we say, let's look at the behavior on the network, because that's where the real security work is being done. So I respectfully disagree in one way that you're not a cybersecurity company. I think you're the better version of a cybersecurity company that way, if you're looking for anomalies in the network. Because, you know, Russia can send out their bots and just sit there and attack your firewall all day, a billion times a day. What if the guy's inside snooping around, right? What if he has permissions from somebody on the network that he stole credentials for, and he's just in there looking around for about, what did they say, 180 days? They're inside before they actually do something. I think this is where we have to get back to. I think we have to get back to the internal changes in your network and your basic, you know, window setup that says, wait a minute, something's changed inside here. That's what I got to go look at. What do you think about that? It's behavior driven. That's what I'm getting at.
You're right. Some of the most high profile cybersecurity incidents that have occurred in the last 2 to 3 years were not from Russians or other bad actors coming in and penetrating the network. They're, especially in the government space and the classified arena, they're from folks who have the right to be where they are and to access the resources that they're accessing, but it's the way in which they're accessing them. And that's where anomaly detection becomes very, very critical. Lateral movements across the network, which are inconsistent with the role that that user is assigned to, or the location. We've been very, very instrumental in some of the incidents we can't talk about in the classified space, but I can say that some of the most high-profile cybersecurity incidents, we helped identify users on the inside doing things out of the ordinary. And once again, the key to anomaly detection is understanding what is ordinary, understanding how applications should flow and behave across the network, how users should consume those applications. And that's what we've been doing for ever since OpNet was founded in the late 80s, is understanding how applications run over the network, how users consume those applications. So our ability to recognize anomalies is outstanding. We've got a great capability to flag things out of the ordinary very, very quickly.
Now, before artificial intelligence came of age and there was e-learning and machine learning that's happening now to learn these patterns for the network, how did we handle that back then? I remember, I don't know, I took some class for Windows NT, right? And I thought I was a genius back then, but I could open up directories and manage a couple of things. But what I would do is I would set rules and permissions, right, for the directories so the people inside my security department could or could not access certain directories. You know, this was part of setting up a network baseline, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Are we getting away from the human element of what's the word? You know, kind of the network guy kind of uses intuition to say, you know what? I know I got this AI program and I got this machine learning that's saying there's something different here. Here's an anomaly. But am I missing something that's an anomaly because I'm not keeping the human element engaged in looking at this? I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm phrasing this correctly, but do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And there's something that or there's some things that all vendors like Riverbed need to do. I call it the low-hanging fruit. And we need to make changes to our applications, especially since we're on the network, the most critical classified networks. We need to make changes so that we have multi-factor authentication and very, very tight role-based access control. So that's the part that we can control. As far as the artificial intelligence or the machine-based learning, it makes me think more of automation. One of the big things we can do to help the cybersecurity problem is to automate more tasks. And this is one of the biggest things that Riverbed's working on right now. And we already have products that are in the market for SD-WAN. 50% of all of the networking and IT infrastructure is outside of the data center, outside of the HQ. And that's where more than 50% of the users are. And that's what SD-WAN is working on. The data centers and storage have evolved quite nicely over the last couple of decades. They're highly virtualized and they have great new technologies. The networking at the edge sites and the infrastructure at the edge sites has not kept up, and it is still highly, highly human in a lot of human interaction, a lot of command line interface to program switches and routers, and a lot of people given access to servers that should never have access to servers. So SD-WAN is going to take that problem and is going to try to solve it. So you'll be able to, from a cloud console sitting at a data center at the headquarters, create policies that can be orchestrated and deployed across every single router that you have in your organization. So for instance, if I wanted to say for video conferencing, I want all of the video to go over a broadband connection because we don't have the bandwidth on our private lines, but the voice to go over MPLS, then I can make that decision and geographically deploy it across my entire remote site infrastructure in less than 30 seconds. So that's the type of thing that used to take a lot of human interaction, someone sitting in a keyboard at a command line interface and sending commands out to a bunch of routers. That's got to go. Most of the vulnerabilities in the network are because a human somewhere who was asked to do 70 hours a week of work to configure a router or an application or an identity management piece of software. There's just way too much human interaction in this. And there's things that companies like Riverbed can do to automate it. And through automation, we can probably eliminate 50% of the vulnerabilities.
Wow, that's outstanding. And it makes a lot of sense to me. You've sold me on the concept because we have between, depending on who you talk to, 1 million to 1.8 million personnel shortage in the business of people that could actually do that 40 hours a week. Now they're doing 80 hours a week. Now they're doing more than 80 hours a week because there's not enough people. So I think you're right. Just by eliminating some of these mundane tasks, so to speak, we have the people back to focus on what the real threats are and stuff. Now, you said something about 50% of the traffic and the network and stuff is outside your firewall, so to speak. Are you talking about bring your own devices? Is this where that 50% resides, where people are using their phones and laptops, you know, off-site to connect to the network?
Well, I certainly didn't mean to say it's outside of the firewall, but it's a common metric we hear in our industry that 50% of the IT spend and approximately 50% of the users or 50% of the attack surface is outside of the data center or out of the corporate
outside,
hub.
My mistake, outside of the data center, right, there's a difference. My small brain isn't kicked in yet, so all right, I got it. And that creates a huge vulnerability, right?
It does. It does. And it's the part that's had the least amount of attention over the last couple of decades. There's still a lot of data centers in a closet sitting at remote sites that just got to go. One of the great things about WAN optimization, and of course, that's one of our core competencies, core capabilities, is it eliminates the need for pushing as much data out to the edge sites because we can make certain applications run over 10 times faster to the remote sites over the WAN. And the other thing we're doing with SD-WAN, which is a big benefit for cybersecurity, is we're getting data out of harm's way. So the way we tell people to think of SD-WAN is it's all of the functions that you currently need at the edge site virtualized, all the network functions. That could be switching, routing. WAN optimization certainly is a big one. Gartner recognized WAN optimization as a key capability of SD-WAN. But there's others that aren't so well known, like storage projection, which is something we've been doing since 2012. So to give you an example, with some of our overseas government sites, think like Benghazi. So you don't need to have data at all these remote sites. If you can project a copy of the data to the remote site, fully encrypted, in flight, at rest, if something happens to that box and someone, a bad guy, unplugs it from the wall and runs out of the embassy, there's nothing there. The primary copy of the data is still sitting back either in a regional data center at a friendly country or in the United States, and the data's gone. It's fully encrypted, the keys are shredded, and there's nothing to get. So we're working very closely with our customers with technology we already have called Fusion, and we're adding it to our SD-WAN capability. So this is another capability we're bringing to our SD-WAN portfolio.
So as the French say, everything old is new again, right? And I remember my grandfather worked for Disney, Walt Disney himself, and he installed some of the first computers at the studio back in the day. And of course, you knew it was a bank, a giant room that could barely run Frogger or Quicken back then compared to today. But, you know, we got the job done. And that was called Hierarchy Storage Management. And every terminal inside the studio or inside the location was just a dump terminal. There were no hard drives on there. I mean, I didn't get a hard drive until 1984, and it was 25 megabytes, and it cost me $1,200. All right? We've come a long way since then.
Mm-hmm.
So what's ironic to me is we're going back to the cloud model. We're going back to the hierarchy storage management, the big server room, right, with computers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to make terminals dumb again. And to your point about Benghazi, this is brilliant. What are we keeping data on a local computer for? This drives me insane. There's absolutely no technical reason to do it. And I know it's a convenience issue, but it really, to me, it's just poor management. It's just, you know, if I was in charge of a data center, I don't know anything about the ones and zeros, but I know about protecting things, right? And I'm glad to see that this is happening because it's just common sense, isn't it? If we eliminated all those remote locations with information, we'd have a lot less access to it. Another crazy theory I have, turn your freaking computer off every day. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I turn it. My computer is off 23 hours a day, let's say, right? You got 23 less hours to attack me. Now, not practical in a giant data center. I get it. But, you know, maybe there's something we can look at. So that I'm so with you on this thing. Riverbed, really, I haven't heard anybody talk about this at Black Hat. Are you one of the few people that kind of proposed this kind of idea to keep these remote data locations, you know, not locally stored? Is that unique in your business?
That is unique capability to Riverbed. There have not been a lot of people that have done that technology. We're very proud of it. It's particularly relevant in Okona sites, although it's just as relevant in some ways for commercial sites if they have low latency. But back to your early point of how did we get here? It's all about supporting the mission, and applications that don't run fast don't support the mission. So everybody got on board and pushed a bunch of data out to the edge sites so the applications would run faster. But with the faster bandwidth that we have now, and with technology like WAN optimization, we don't need it. It's a cultural change to get people to let go of their data and let someone at a data center who's qualified, understands the rules to protect it, let them take care of it. The missing piece here, though, is WAN optimization. Once again, something that we invented and have been doing since 2004 and we're still the leader at, you really can't do it, at least as nearly as effectively, without WAN optimization. So faster links, optimize. Does. We actually have customers who run our Fusion core. We call it the core. It's the data center piece that projects the storage out of the data center SAN. We have it running directly in Amazon, for instance. So you could project your storage from Amazon to your edge sites, and it's technically not even there. It's just an image of it, which can be wiped in as soon as someone unplugs the machine from the wall.
So you talked about a cultural change. I was at, let's just say, one of the major film developers in the movie business years ago, and there's only two of them, so you guys take your guess on which one it was. And I'm talking to their head IT guy who was based in Canada, and I'm doing a survey of their processing facility. And I said, you know, I noticed all your computers have these USB ports, flash drives. Now, USB ports and flash drives were fairly new when we were doing this exercise. And the first thing I said to this guy was, those are disabled, right? And he goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, if I plug my flash drive in, I certainly can't. It won't work, right? Oh, no, they're active.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why would you leave an active flash drive in a movie facility where I can take parts of my movie off and steal it? This was the head the head CTO guy, right? And he's like, oh, I don't get it. What are you talking about? Why would somebody steal a movie? Of course, that was
the latest version of what's the one on HBO, Game of Thrones.
Exactly. So now, right. It's back in the day we were worried about camcording, you know, taking a physical picture in the movie theater and stuff. So what do you think is happening with the culture in this business? I got a lot of white hair for a reason, and I just kind of grew up where technology was coming of age. It keeps developing. I've kind of followed it and used it. And the younger IT guys, they don't seem to have this history in their development of using the technology. So to them, I don't see everybody thinking about security just in a day-to-day operation scale, right? You guys, obviously that's your business, right? But the average user,
right?
Oh, somebody must be taking care of that, I'm sure, so I'm not going to worry about it. What do you think is happening with that? I'm very perplexed by why everybody's not building security into their first line of code. You know, I just don't get it.
Well, this is where we think Riverbed's unique. Security is worthless without performance. The reason there's so much data at these remote sites, once again, is to support the mission. So if we over pivot and we bring a ton of security at the expense of performance, then no one's going to adopt it. I meant to mention a second ago about VDI. You were talking about the green screen example, and there's a lot of sincere intent to implement VDI to get us closer to that green screen era when at least there was centralized protection of data. The problem with VDI is performance has been terrible. There have been a lot of, once again, high-profile VDI implementations in the government which were scrapped because performance stunk. So
okay.
we do a lot of performance enhancement to failed VDI implementations using, once again, either our fusion technology or our WAN optimization technology. So there's plenty of intent, but if you try to do these things at the expense of performance and the application suffers, then you got to be thinking, well, the mission suffers. So I don't care if it's a government application or a commercial application, people are always going to put performance first. So who better than a company like Riverbed, who has a DNA in performance management, to go to say, okay, I need to improve my security profile, but I want security not only to remain the same, I'm sorry, performance, not only to remain the same, can you make it run faster at the same time? And the answer is absolutely.
Davis Johnson, riverbed.com. Fascinating discussion, my friend. And I'm so glad we finally connected.
I'm glad we met. Yeah.
After a few technical glitches, which we won't tell our viewers about, but we solved them because Riverbed solves technical problems.
I appreciate it.
All right. So
appreciate your patience.
Follow Riverbed at riverbed.com. And Davis Johnson, you got a Twitter handle or anything you want to give out for your company?
We use the Riverbed Twitter handle, Chuck. I'll send it to you in a second.
All right. Excellent. So once again, you guys, tune into the Black Hat interviews on livestream.com/SecurityGuideTV. And you'll see 94 other interviews now with this kind of technology. Davis, again, thanks for coming on the show. Fascinating discussion. And you guys are welcome anytime. So until the
thanks,
next show,
Chuck.
We'll see you guys later on SecurityGuideTV.com.
Talk soon.